Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, host of the Football History Dude podcast, right here on the Sports History Network. Now, before we jump into another sports history adventure, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor. We partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor in the United States, where you can get deals on over 30,000 autographed sports collectibles. They even have film, music, and other entertainment autographs on the site, so there's something for everyone. Perhaps you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, or maybe Father's Day. Heck, who needs a holiday as an excuse to give a piece of sports history to your loved ones? Or how about yourself? Today seems like a great day to add to your sports cave, right? But how is RSA able to offer such great deals on JSA authentication, you ask? Well, they do this by making deals directly with athletes, so there are no extra markups, and they choose to pass these savings on to the customer. All orders from Rochester Sports Autographs are top quality and shipped to your door with top authentication and money-back guarantee. And to make sure RSA knows that the Sports History Network sent you, we created a special link for you. All you have to do is head to shoprsa.com/SHN. Again, that's shoprsa.com/SHN. Head over there to get your piece of sports history today.
Warning, this podcast is going to be a wild ride, so you better buckle up your chin straps. These football history headlines will take you from the padded equipment in football and undefeated seasons in early football to great passing and receiving records in the modern game. So hang on, we'll get to it in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. And like we told you at the beginning, this is going to be a wild ride on our football history headlines for November 3rd, as we will go all the way back to the beginnings of football and cover a lot of aspects of the game from equipment to record-breaking performances. So we'll get right at it. We'll start with November 3rd, 1877, and Princeton's L.P. Smock introduces wearing padding to the game of football when he and his team faced Harvard. Smock sewed padding, made mostly of cotton, into his uniform jersey and pants before the game. The rules in the contest more closely resembled rugby than our modern football, but it was a rough sport nonetheless. Per the source of sportsrec.com, Smock's pads were thin quilted sewn layers on the shoulders, thighs, and knees, and were laced up jersey and knee pants he designed as the first football uniform for Princeton players. The pads were not very heavy, as they also did not provide much protection. You can check more out on the link that's on our website, pigskindispatch.com, for the November 3rd article. Our next football headline took place just after the turn of the century, November 3rd, 1900, University Park, Ithaca, New York. Two undefeated heavyweights of the gridiron era squared off in this Week 7 showdown as a Cornell Big Red would travel to play the Princeton Tigers. Entering the game, according to an article on CornellBigRed.com website, Princeton had never lost at home with an amazing 121 wins, 0 losses, and 1 tie record there in their history. Cornell featured All-American fullback Ray Starbuck, while Princeton countered with their main captain, H.W. Pell. Cornell made history as they handed the Tigers their first loss at home 12-0 in a rainy afternoon. The Big Reds' Raymond Starbuck and Henry Purcell each scored touchdowns, and Starbuck booted a pair of extra point kicks to lead the Cornell Big Red past the Tigers. It was the first time in 31 seasons of Princeton football history that they had suffered a loss in their own house. Truly a remarkable feat. Let's jump 35 years into the future and go to the NFL. On November 3rd, 1935, at Fenway Park in Boston, Massachusetts, the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Boston Redskins 7-6. Considering the era of football and the score, it doesn't sound like much that the ball went in the air, except during the contest, the respective quarterbacks threw a combined NFL record 11 interceptions. Speaking of the Eagles, let's go 29 years into the future, and we'll go to November 3rd, 1964 in Philadelphia. The voters of Philadelphia narrowly approved a $25 million referendum to build a new multi-purpose stadium that would later become known as Veterans Stadium, home of the Philadelphia Eagles. The next headline takes us to New York City, and November 3rd, 1968 at Shea Stadium in this big city, the Jets kicker Jim Turner boots 6 field goals and an extra point to defeat the Buffalo Bills by the score of 25-21. Let's switch gears a little bit. We'll go to November 3rd, 1973, Cougar Stadium in Provo, Utah. Brigham Young University wide receiver Jay Miller set an NCAA football single game record with 22 catches for 263 yards as the Cougars went on to snatch a 56-21 victory over the University of New Mexico. Then we'll go to November 3rd, 1990, the Astrodome in Houston, Texas. Texas Christian University quarterback Matt Vogler completes 44 passes, including 5 touchdowns, for an NCAA football record of 690 yards passing. But he was outmatched when the opposing Houston Cougars quarterback David Klingler throws for 7 touchdowns. The Cougars overcame the great offensive showing of TCU's Horned Frogs with a 56-35 final score. Our next headline comes from the NFL, November 3rd, 1996. San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Jerry Rice becomes the first player in NFL history to reach 1,000 career receptions in a 24-17 win over the New Orleans Saints as he hauls in 3 passes for 45 yards and a couple touchdowns. Rice finished his career with 1,549 receptions to set a milestone for NFL receivers of the future to strive for. Then we'll go to November 3rd, 2001. Vaught Hemingway Stadium, Oxford, Mississippi. The University of Arkansas defeats the University of Mississippi 58-56 in 7 overtime periods to provide, at the time, the longest game in NCAA football history. November 3rd, 2007, the Navy midshipmen defeated the Notre Dame Fighting Irish 46-44 in triple overtime, ending the Fighting Irish's NCAA football record winning streak against the midshipmen at 43 games. When was the last time Navy won over Notre Dame before that, you might ask? It was a 35-14 midshipman victory in 1963. Our next headline comes to us from Oakland, California, November 3rd, 2013. The Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Nick Foles completes 22 of his 28 passing attempts for 406 yards with scoring tosses 3 times to wideout Riley Cooper to become the 7th passer in NFL history with 7 TD tosses in a game during the Philadelphia Eagles 49-20 win over those Oakland Raiders. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed Player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
Okay, we had a lot of headlines, like we said, for November 3rd, but our football information for November 3rd has not stopped, as we're going to go to the birthdays of Hall of Famers, and we'll start off with November 3rd, 1893, Bellevue, Pennsylvania. Charlie Barrett, the slick quarterback from Cornell University, arrived to his parents' delight on this day. Chuck was a consensus All-American quarterback in 1914 and 1915 while playing for Cornell, and led the Big Red to an undefeated season with an accompanying national championship in the 1915 season. Per the CornellBigRed.com website, Charlie chose the plays, called the signals, and was a triple threat man in every respect. He also handled the kicking and punting chores for Cornell. Chuck Barrett was inducted posthumously into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1958. Next, we'll go to November 3rd, 1908. Rainy River, Ontario, Canada, the famous fullback for the University of Minnesota, Bronco Nagurski, was born. Nagurski was a consensus All-American in 1929 for the Golden Gophers, and as a matter of fact, according to gophersports.com, Bronco is the only player who has been named 2 positions on the same All-American team. In 1929, his senior year at Minnesota, he was voted to the first team at both tackle and fullback. In addition, he was named on some All-American teams as an end. Nagurski was a star at Minnesota from 1927 through the 1929 seasons and led the Gophers to an 18-4-2 record during that time. Amazingly, in the four losses, they came by a combined 5 points. The National Football Foundation could hardly wait to enter Bronco Nagurski into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1951. After school was over, Nagurski signed with George Halas and his Chicago Bears teams of the 1930 through 1938 seasons. Bronco was one of the star players for those Bears squads, and he helped the team to win NFL championships in both 1932 and 33. He was a great write-up on one of those infamous 1933 victories. You can find more about that by the link we provide in the article for November 3rd on PigskinDispatch.com. Bronco Nagurski was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the entry class of 1963. Our next celebrated birthday took place on November 3rd, 1937 in Massillon, Ohio. It marked the birth of Ohio State University's two-way end, Jim Houston. He was a three-year starter under head coach Woody Hayes from 1957 through 1959 and twice was voted as the team's MVP. He was elected as a team captain as a senior in 59. The website footballfoundation.org has a great bio on Jim and tells us that as a sophomore, Houston helped the Buckeyes go to a 9-1 record and claim the title of national championship for the 1957 season. The NFF Selection Committee placed the career of Jim Houston into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2005. After school, Houston played 13 seasons in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns and was selected to 4 Pro Bowls during that time. Whew, we covered a lot of ground, but we're not done yet because we have one more Hall of Fame birthday to talk about. November 3rd, 1967, Colby, Wisconsin, the celebrated arrival of Kirk Baumgartner, a quarterback that played for the University of Wisconsin at Stevens Point, came into our world. Kirk played with the Pointers from 1986 through the 1989 seasons. Baumgartner was a 3-time first-team NAIA All-American, a 2-time NAIA National Player of the Year, and arguably the best quarterback in the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics history. As a junior and a senior, he led the nation in total offense. Baumgartner still ranks among the all-time greatest college quarterbacks with 14,847 career passing yards and 122 career touchdown passes. Kirk Baumgartner was honored with a place in the College Football Hall of Fame in a year. 2005. Now, before we end this show, let's talk about what comes up on tomorrow's football history headlines as a little tease. November 4th, we're going to look at the first marketing genius in football, and we'll also talk about a 24-hour football news station that comes into the play. We'll talk about that more tomorrow in our football history headlines. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Darren Hayes, host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcast. I hope you've enjoyed another great episode here on Sports History Network. Now, speaking of sports history, this episode was brought to you by Firefly Books, and they have two great ones for you this summer. For basketball fans, they have the NBA 75, The Definitive History by author Dave Zarum, who's appeared on our Jersey Dispatch podcast recently. He tells about the experience, the thrilling journey of the NBA from its humble beginnings to its modern glory. Uncover the untold stories of triumph, controversy, and the greatest stars of the game. This isn't just a book. It's courtside seats to over 75 years of NBA history. And for the golf enthusiasts, swing into The Golf Round, I'll Never Forget by Matt Adams. Relive 50 of golf's most memorable moments through the eyes of the legends themselves. From Garcia's triumph at the 2017 Masters to Nicklaus' miraculous 1986 comeback, it's the closest you'll get to walking the fairways with golf's greatest.
Get your summer read on. Grab a copy of NBA 75 or The Golf Round I'll Never Forget, available online or at your favorite bookstore.